sorry. Wasn't it about... I thought it was about an operator?
Yes, it is.
Ah, okay. Because... now, okay. It was the... It looked wrong because I thought operator somewhere. Okay. Kubernetes operator. Okay, cool. Okay, so welcome. This is Edith, and she will give an introduction to Kubernetes operators. Please start.
Yeah. Do I need... okay. Is this working? Is this working? Is this working? Could you hear me behind? Yeah? Okay, that's nice. Okay, good morning everyone. I'm really happy to be here again. The last year I was here shaking of nervous because it was my first talk in English. I improved now. It's gonna be better, I hope. And thank you so much, Foston, for this opportunity and all you for also make this happen. So I'm so happy for that, thank you. Okay, in this talk, I will talk about Kubernetes operators. Did you hear about Kubernetes operators before? Could you be? Okay, we will do a little introduction for containers, little, then Kubernetes. We will see how we deploy an application in Kubernetes, and then we will do an intro into Kubernetes operators. To start, this is me. You can call me just Eddie. I am technology evangelist at Percona. I also got the UK Global Talent Visa. For that reason, I moved to UK the last year. And I am Cloud Native Computing Foundation ambassador, organizing events in my city, in Lima, in Peru. I'm Docker Captain, also organizing meetups about Docker. An open source contributor who contributed to Apache Airflow in the past. And now just translating the documentation in the Kubernetes website from English to Spanish to make it more for people who speak just Spanish. So if you want to talk about these topics, you can find me there or in the building K. So I'm happy to share with you about this. Okay, I already said the agenda. So today we will talk about Kubernetes operators, but first we will start by containers. Before to talk about Kubernetes operators or Kubernetes, the fundamentals is containers. We all know that a container is a process that is running on top of our system operator, right? So we need a technology, a containerized technology that is on top of our system, our host operating system, and on top of that, our application is running as an isolated process, and all the libraries and dependencies that we need for our application is there too. So I can imagine you already know what's container, right? Yeah, yeah, this is a container in the room, so that's good. Okay, but with containers, you will see if you are using it, you maybe could experiment some challenge. For example, orchestration. You are not running two or three containers, now you are running thousands if you have a big application, right? You are running thousands of applications and you need to orchestrate them. Orchestrate them, and this is challenge just using containers. Then we have also to secure containers images, managing these vulnerabilities, or we have to handle network securities, access or authentication, not just for one container, but for thousands of them. With many containers running, also we need to see what is happening in real time. Right? We need to know what container is failing, what we need to restart, and we have this metrics, this data, and we need this kind of tools to help us to visualize these errors and diagnose these problems and improve the performance. Also, we saw that there is a problem with scalability, so we didn't have that kind of tool that helped us to scale faster from thousands to 10, maybe to 10 containers, dependent of the demand of our application. And finally, managing a data and storage also in a container make this thing a little bit more complex. What are the advantages of Kubernetes? With Kubernetes, we automate all this process that we talk, and we reduce this manual intervention. We don't do this for just one container. What we do, we see Kubernetes in the world, you see the web page, there is a lot of concepts that we need to learn, a lot of terminology that it looks like we never end to learn Kubernetes. But for this presentation, we are going to focus in three main components, which is the pods, the deployment, and the services. In the case of pods, the pod is the unique basis of Kubernetes. Inside a pod, we have a container, and the container is a container that is related with other pods with that share read and storage. And we have deployments also to deploy our application. It's where we set the desired state, and we also set the replicas that is going to have our application. And we have services to access to each pod and to make it available between other pods. For this example, we are going to see visual how we deploy a cluster in Kubernetes, and we are going to see this example of booting up. We have a booting app, which you have a web application on the right, where you can just boot between cats and dogs. It's a web application. In the other side, we are going to show just the result of that booting that we have. We have two web applications here. Okay, but behind this, we have many things to run in a cluster, not just two applications. We have this. If we have to containerize our applications, we don't just have the front end or the part that is visible to the user, which is booting up a RESTful app. We have behind also the Redis application, for example, to get the data that we put in the web application in temporal memory. And we have the backend that is made in .NET. This is just an example. And we have the database in Postgres, which is also in a container. And the RESTful app, the application which is made in Node, is going to get the data from the database and is going to expose our result of what we bought in the booting application. Here, if you want to create a cluster in Kubernetes, we need to identify which the connection ports, right? For example, if we want to access to the booting application where we are going to boot between cats and dogs, we need to identify how we are going to access to that application. So the port 8 should be open. The same for the other, could be other port, but this is just an example. But in the other application, RESTful app, also we can open a port so the user can access to that application to get the data. But inside this stack, also we have to identify which application access to what application. In that case, in the case of Redis, for example, the booting application is going to save the data in Redis, and the backend application is going to accept to the Redis to get the data and process it, to after that bring it to the database. But the database have to have a port open. The same with Redis, have to open a port to make it accessible for other applications. Now we talk about services. So after you identify the ports where our application is going to listen, we have to identify services. And the good thing before to do this is ask you, okay, who application is going to access to me? Redis, for example, okay. I'm going to be useful for another application? Yes, so I need to create a service there. The same with the application of the database, with Postgres, I need to create a service. And the same with the other pods in the top, we need to create a service for that to be accessed for the user. Now we talk about deployments. After knowing what pods we are going to open, what are our containers, our images, we need to deploy our application. To deploy our application, the one we want, how many we want, the replicas we want. If it's one, in this case, I have the booting app and the RESTful app application deployed with replicas 3, if you can see. And I decide the pink part, which is the control plane, which is the brain of the cluster. And we can access to the control plane through the user interface and also with kubectl. typing commands, we can access to that. And we have the API server, which is the front end for Kubernetes for the control plane. And it resides a lot of responses and will process them and will save these interactions into the database of Kubernetes, which is etcd. We have also the schedule. The schedule is going to assign the pods in the cluster nodes, but it's going to try to find what node is right for the pod that I have. We have also control manager. The control manager is going to have several containers for the objects that we have in Kubernetes to monitor all the health of the cluster. And it's going to keep informing about the health of the cluster. And we have the etcd, which is the database of Kubernetes. In the other side, in the worker side, we have three components, kubelet, we have the container runtime, and we have kubeproxy. For kubelet, it will take control of the control plane instructions and will start, stop, monitor the containers. We have the container runtime that could be Docker or could be another other container runtime to create and to make possible the containers. And we have kubeproxy, which is going to facilitate the networking communication between the pods that we have in the worker node. Okay, let's go for Kubernetes operators now. Okay, we saw the YAML, we saw where we identify replicas, one, we can scale, right? Scaling applications, stateless applications, is easy. We saw that because we can just write this command and make, right? Kubectl scale deploy to 4 scale or level up this one. So it's easy to scale this kind of applications because Kubernetes was made for stateless applications, so it's easy to make. But how about applications that store data? Do you think it's easy to add it to scale it? Yeah, it's easy. Because we also saw that we have Postgres in a container and in a pod, and we can define a YAML file, and we can scale it also. Right? That is good. It's easy too. But where is the problem where we want to run stateful applications, for example, in Kubernetes? This is the real problem. When we want to run a database over the time, because we can deploy a database in Kubernetes, we can make it. It's there running. I did it. Many of you did it. But what happened with a long time to all the life cycle of a database? This is where the real problem came up, because we have to handle backups, upgrades, recovery, replications, and many other things that is for the database itself. Kubernetes, at the beginning, was built for a stateless application. But when we talk about databases or applications that need to save the user data, we need to do another thing. When we talk about running a database in a long period of time, we are talking about the day 2 of the Kubernetes application lifecycle. If we talk about day 0 and day 1, we are talking about planning and development or operations and now. This is an example of a custom resource definition where we are going to set up a new kind of our object in Kubernetes. We saw objects in Kubernetes. We saw the default objects. We have deployments, we have pods, we have services. This is the default objects that Kubernetes have. But if we want to integrate a new one, my own one, for example, called crontab, I have to define it in these custom resource definitions. And I have to also define the behavior of this new kind. What is going to do? What is going to be the main target of this new kind? So if we see, we define it in that part in this custom resource definition, custom because I'm customizing this file to add a new kind and integrate it into Kubernetes cluster. And this is the custom resource definition behavior. For example, this is a very simple one where I'm defining the kind. The kind is going to be crontab and the name. And this is the main objective, the main target of this new object is going to do, is going to use that image in 5 minutes. It's going to do something in each 5 minutes. This is the object that I want my new type of Kubernetes, I wanted to make. But you can have bigger things, right? Make a deploy, make a backup, make a replication. So it's going to be huge, not just as simple as this. And after you apply this new custom resource definition, you are able to do kubectl get crontab, like a normal object that we have in Kubernetes. And we will see the results. When this is made, you are able to use this new type of Kubernetes in all your Kubernetes cluster. Okay, we talk about a custom resource definition. Now we will talk about the custom controller. So the custom controller that Kubernetes has by default is easy as a concept. So this controller is gonna try to find the difference between the desired state and the current state of our cluster, and it's gonna try to match the difference. And the custom controller that we create for the Kubernetes operators is kind similar. Summarizing, how does it work Kubernetes with all operators? So we have a user which is gonna write a YAML from an object that we already know, that is deployment. And the deployment, after apply the deployment, the object, okay, after apply the deployment is going to create the deploys that we want and the pods that we want. In all this process, we have the custom control or custom control loop that is going to try to find the difference between my cluster, this is my cluster, and the desired state. And it's going to try to match. Okay, you are telling me that I have to have 3 pods, but I have just 2 pods. So it's going to take action to make this automatically. How is Kubernetes with operators? To run Kubernetes with operators, we need to install in our cluster 2 things. The operator lifecycle manager, which is going to handle and see all the, is going to see all the lifecycle of our Kubernetes operators, which is very important, and the custom resource definition that we created at the beginning as a template, and the controller that is going to do that matching between the desired state and the final state, but for our custom resource definition. In this case, the user writes a custom resource, but with a new type. It's not a type that we know, it's the type that we created. My app, for example, is a type that we created as a custom resource definition, and we are applying it into the cluster. Inside the cluster, we also have the normal object that Kubernetes has, the control loop, to make this, to keep looking for difference and act to try to match this into my cluster. And if you are looking how to create a Kubernetes operator by yourself, you can do it. There is a very nice guide in which is the operator framework, where it's going to give you an SDK to start to create Kubernetes operators and all the steps to make it possible. And you also, if you're wondering where I can find all these Kubernetes operators, if this is your first time listening about this, there is also a Kubernetes operators which is called Operator Hub, similar like Docker Hub, with there we have all the images there, right, to access. So we have Operator Hub where you can find all the operators that we want. So you can use these operators to integrate in things that maybe your application in a Kubernetes cluster is not doing right now. Maybe something missing. Maybe there is something that you are still doing something manual in your Kubernetes cluster. If you are doing something manual, maybe it's easy to automate. You can also find this kind of tools here to automate and make it even